Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
The Gospel according to St. John records the account of Jesus healing a man who was born blind. You probably remember this story and the way it describes Jesus spitting on the ground, making some mud, rubbing it on the man's eyes, and then telling him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man does what Jesus tells him to do, and he returns with his sight. When the people who live in community with him, who know that he has been blind from birth, witness this miracle, they bring him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees want to investigate the miraculous healing. So they ask the man how he's received his sight. And he tells them simply, Jesus put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see. But the Pharisees refuse to believe the simple truth. And so they go to his parents, and they ask his parents, is this your son, the one who you say was born blind? Well, how is it now that he can see? And his parents answer, we know that this is our son, we know that he was born blind, but how he can now see or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself. So they return a second time to the man who's been healed. And they tell him, to give glory to God, we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. To which the man who was healed replies, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. There is one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. As intelligent, powerful, and clever as they were, the Pharisees could not undermine the simple truth spoken by a man who up to this day was a blind beggar. When you consider this man's testimony, the way his parents confirmed the basic facts, or all the people who lived in community with him and witnessed this miracle, you recognize the value of a credible eyewitness. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Yet in our epistle this morning, St. Paul moves far beyond two or three and stands on the testimony of hundreds of eyewitnesses as he declares the gospel to the Corinthians and to the world the Father gave the life of his Son to save. These are his inspired words. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So if the Bible states that only two or three witnesses are necessary to establish a fact, why do you think St. Paul finds it necessary to pull out the heavy artillery, to hit us with hundreds of witnesses instead of two or three, and leaves absolutely no doubt about the truth of his words? Well, I would suggest St. Paul offers such overwhelming, incontrovertible evidence because without these historical facts, we have nothing but blind faith or wishful thinking. As Paul writes in the verses that follow our reading, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless, and you are still dead in your sins. Our faith, our hope, everything we believe is built on the fact that our Lord and God was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day he rose again. The foundation of the Christian faith is not good works or moral teaching. The foundation of our faith is the precious death and the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We have nothing apart from these facts. So thanks be to God, for we know that our Redeemer lives. The gospel has been declared unto us by many witnesses. And though there is so much these witnesses don't know about the infinite, almighty creator of heaven and earth, there is one thing that they each know. I was blind, but now I see. The gospel message is that simple. As you know, theologians write books, series of books, even large collections of books, but they are mostly writing at an academic level and often on theoretical material that the church has spent centuries discussing. It's true that these books are good and useful and necessary, but the gospel is so much simpler than all of that. The gospel is not some theory or complex set of theological principles that is going to require years to understand. The gospel is a simple truth. Now, there are times when we read and reread the words of St. Paul because, as St. Peter said in his epistle, Paul can be hard to understand. But that's not true about what he wrote today. This morning, we heard him declare the gospel unto us, the gospel by which we are saved. And he said simply that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. When a man like St. Paul, who can very easily make a complex argument to defend the words that he is speaking to us, when he makes things so simple, we should stop and really take notice of the simple, straightforward, direct truth he's telling us. So Paul tells us here that Christ, with all the truths and doctrines that this title of Christ carries with it, God's anointed one, the chosen Savior, the King of Kings, it was Christ who died for our sins. This isn't about philosophy or complex theology. This is about sacrifice. A freely given sacrifice for our sins. Someone died for what we've done. Someone died to rescue us. And that someone was God's own Son, the person of Jesus Christ. Paul writes that Christ died according to the scriptures. He died just as the scriptures of the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would, and that he was buried. Christ was buried like any dead person would be. And then 3 days after his death and burial, Paul tells us that he rose again according to the scriptures, just as the Old Testament scriptures promised that the Messiah would. And after declaring this gospel, Paul doesn't expect us to just take his word for it. Now, he points to hundreds of witnesses, many of whom at that time would still be alive. As he writes this letter to the Corinthians, he's saying to them, these are the facts. If you don't believe me, go ask any one of these witnesses. They'll tell you. Most of the people who Paul's talking about when he talks about the 500 could be called to testify to the truth of his words. Just like a blind man, his parents and the people who live in community with him could testify to the truth of his miraculous healing. It's pretty difficult to disregard the simple truth spoken by a credible eyewitness, especially when that witness is just the first in a line of a multitude of witnesses who are ready to confirm the details. The details. The simple truth. The foundation of our faith. The historical fact that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is our hope. This is the gospel we believe. This is the gospel by which we are saved. And that salvation means that we too shall rise from the dead, from our own graves, to live forever with him. Paul makes all of this simple enough for a child to understand, and that's exactly how the gospel is meant to be understood. For Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So our epistle today reminds us that the gospel is a simple truth grounded in historical facts verified by credible eyewitnesses. It's crucial that we keep these things in mind, because the world, the flesh, the devil, and the culture in which we live is going to try to twist, complicate, and undermine the facts of our faith. My friends, there's so much I don't know. There's so many mysteries that none of us can know because God hasn't chosen to reveal them. But ask me about the gospel, and I'll respond like a man who was born blind, who Jesus laid hands on, and who then went and did what Jesus told him to do. Because there is one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.